Turn with me this morning to St. Mark chapter 14 for a scripture reading. I think we'll read in verse 30. Oh, no, 30. 32. Here we have Jesus when he was in the Gethsemane. And we want to talk about the subject of prayer. And I would like to look at the prayer of Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Beginning to read here in verse 32, it says, "They came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit ye here while I shall pray.' And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch.' And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but what thou wilt.' And he cometh and findeth him sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch with me 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.' And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what he answered him, what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, 'Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand.'" We want to look at the experience of Jesus here as he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and thinking of the prayer that he prayed here and the motivation of his heart as he came before God in prayer. You know, I think there is, you know, we pray a lot. I'm sure we do. We say everybody prays every day, I'm sure, sometime. But is our prayer, are we really praying? I guess that's my challenge this morning. Do we really pray? When we see Jesus here, that he was moved in his innermost being to cry out to God. He was not just saying words. He was not saying a routine of words. But his heart was crying out to God in agony. It says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." This was the cry of Jesus as he was facing the crucifixion, as he was facing the load of the sin of the world upon him. And as Jesus was looking into this, what was standing before him, And the cry of his heart to God, it was in heaviness, it was in bitterness of soul that he was reaching out to God. It says he went forward a little and he fell on the ground and he prayed. And it says that he prayed, one place it says that he prayed as it were great drops of blood, sweat drops of blood. He was very heavy and very burdened in his heart when he prayed. And he says here, Abba Father, all things are possible with you. He says, take away this cup from me. In his flesh was recoiling at what was set before him. But the beautiful thing, he prayed here, he said, but not my will, but what thou wilt. His will was a surrender to God's will. His heart was in tune with God's heart. His desire and his spirit was one with God's spirit. And yet, as he prayed, he surrendered himself to God. And I believe this is something that is more than just saying a prayer. And that's a burden I have this morning concerning our prayer life. You know, we can pray long prayers. We can pray loud prayers. We can pray very precise prayers. We can say very beautiful prayers. But unless we are praying from our heart and our spirit within us unto God, I believe we are not praying as we ought to pray. I believe God wants us to cry out to Him from our innermost being. And I believe this kind of prayer is powerful with God. That we come to Him with a burden and a heart longing after Him, and with a burden that is agonizing within us, then God will take notice. A burden that is for the purpose and will and glory of God, then I believe God will take notice. And God will hear and will answer that kind of a prayer. In 1 Chronicles it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. It is a heart condition that we come to God with humility and brokenness and surrender to God and with a seeking after God from our inner man, that God will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and will heal our land. I'm burdened this morning that we have that we are lacking in the reality and the experience of the fullness of what God can do for us in prayer. Prayer is the most neglected and the most wasted element of our Christian faith, I believe. Because prayer is powerful. Prayer can move mountains. Another scripture is in Matthew 22, after Jesus came to the temple and he saw all the people there doing business in the temple and how he drove the people out of the temple. He drove the animals and the business and he upset their tables. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. God wants our house whether it be the house of God or the dwelling place of God within our temple. He wants it to be a house of prayer, a place where He can commune with us and where He can fellowship with us and where we can reach out to Him and experience His fullness and His blessing and His presence in our life continually. In Matthew 17 also it talks about when the disciples tried to cast out demons and they could not do it. And they asked, how is it that we can't do this? And Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting. So there must be an intensity in our prayer, in our seeking God. It's not something that we do casually. It's not something that we just mutter words without a heart of intensity behind it. God is waiting to pour out His blessing upon His people. God wants to answer our prayers. But it's only when we pray in the Spirit and in the truth, and we pray with the agony of our heart to God, that He will hear and He will answer our prayers. Jesus said in Matthew 21 also, is after He rebuked the fig tree, He says, all things whatsoever shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. We must be believing people. We must pray in faith, in sincerity and in faith. God wants to pour out His blessing upon His people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's another interesting verse. In verse 15. Here He's talking about, in verse 14 He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, says my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So, He's saying here that we can pray without understanding. We can also pray without the Spirit. And I believe we can pray. I believe what I'm saying is that we can pray a lot of right words, a lot of nice words, but if we're not praying in the Spirit, I don't believe God is going to hear and is going to connect. I believe the Spirit of God through us, God wants to, it is the Holy Spirit reaching out and crying out to God. One place it says about the Spirit of God praying in the Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered. I believe this is a kind of prayer that God wants us to be experiencing. When our inner man, the Spirit of God, is crying out to God, that we are a vessel that God is using to communicate, that the Spirit of God within us is crying out to God with understanding, that there's not just, that we're not just saying words, but that we're praying a spiritual prayer. We're praying in the Spirit and in the presence of God. I don't know if you know what it is. I don't know. I don't always experience reality in prayer like I want to. But I do know what it is to experience it. I know what it is to pray and to have experienced prayer. But I also know what it is to pray and to have just said words. And this is the burden on my heart this morning. And I'm not saying that I always pray like I should. But I know that there is a difference. And I believe this is the difference that God wants to see in the church today. where our prayers are more than just words that we say, but they are an inner yearning from the God to God, from our innermost being, that God can hear and answer our prayers. Another thing we see here with Jesus when he was praying, he prayed, he came to the disciples, he saw, rebuked them for not being able to wait with him for 1 hour, and then he came back and he rebuked them again. But then the third time he came, he said, "It's okay now. Just go ahead and sleep. Just relax. It's done. He's finished." Now, what do you think the difference was? Why was Jesus different the third time? I believe there is such a thing as praying until you have prayed. I believe his prayer, he had prayed through, and he found peace and power with God. And he found grace to face what was before him. And he had the witness of God in his heart that, okay, now it's time to go forward. He's prayed and he experienced God's presence. He experienced God's witness in his heart. He experienced God's peace and he experienced the power and the presence of God in such a way that he's ready to face the future. He's ready to face whatever lies before him. He surrendered it all to God. He surrendered himself to God. He surrendered his will to God. He surrendered his issues to God. He surrendered his entire being to God in such a way that he had rest. And he told his disciples, "They can go rest now." He's prayed. He's prayed through. And I believe God will witness this kind of thing in our heart. If we pray with that kind of a agonizing and sincerity in our heart, that when we have reached heaven and His witness bears witness with our spirit, and His peace floods our soul, and He gives us that satisfaction that we have prayed, that then we can rise up and go forth rejoicing in the presence of God and in the power of God. I don't believe God expects us to be bowed down and burdened and agonizing all the time. I believe there's times to do that. But there's times to rise up and go forward. There's times to go to work. There's times to go and do the work of God now. It's time to rise up and go forward. Yes, I believe God brings us through seasons of prayer, but He also brings through seasons of service, seasons of rejoicing, seasons of praise. I believe God wants to bring us through those times that when we pray until we have prayed, and then we rise up and rejoice and praise God and go forth with confidence of His blessing upon our life and His power and His grace and His love. And I thank God this morning for that witness in my life today. I have some sayings here from the various writers that said about prayer. Dr. Cortland said, "Prayer is the mightiest force in the universe." We think of the universe and the tremendous power that is there. There is so much in the creation of God. But there's nothing greater than the reality of prayer. We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. Andrew Murray, we have been entrusted with a force that can move the heavenlies and bring its power down to earth. Are we experiencing that today? True prayer is the Holy Ghost praying through us back to God. J. A. Morgan. This relates to what I read in Corinthians about praying in the Spirit and in the understanding. It's like the Holy Spirit within us communing with God. Power of prayer can never be overrated. If a man can but pray, he can do anything. He who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Charles Spurgeon. Prayer is not only a command, but it is the greatest privilege on earth. It is the greatest privilege on earth. Prayer has been called the outlet of trouble and the inlet of comfort. Prayer is like the window of the soul by which we can let out that which is oppressive and we can let in that which is refreshing and pure. That's beautiful. Thomas Paine. Oh, that we know better how to pray in the Holy Ghost and to rely absolutely upon Him for utterance. John Fletcher. And I guess that's my burden this morning. That we know better how to pray in the Holy Ghost and to rely absolutely upon Him for utterance. I believe God has something far beyond what I am experiencing in prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's the most powerful force upon the universe. Prayer can bring God Himself down to man. I want to look also at some of the prayers of the Old Testament. I'm thinking of Jacob's prayer that night when he wrestled with the angel in Genesis chapter 32. It says Jacob was coming back from where he got his wives, and he wanted to go back to his home country, but he feared his brother Esau. Esau had threatened to kill him. Whenever his father dies, he's going to kill him. And Jacob was in fear as he was going back toward his brother. And that night when he heard that his brother was coming toward him with many men were coming toward him. And he was going toward them, and he was in a pinch. He was in a difficult situation. And that night, as he slept, he wrestled with an angel. He prayed. He wrestled with an angel all night. And he said, "Bless me, O God, bless me." And he would not let go. He prevailed with God that night. Jacob prevailed. He was in a difficult situation. He thought he was either going to die or God had to do something. He couldn't do it. He was helpless. It was out of his control. But Jacob wrestled with the angel that night, and he gave his life completely to God, and he prayed God's blessing upon his life, and we see that his fears were relieved there when God touched him. God touched him. God changed him. And God took care of his problem. The next day when Esau came, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And they were brothers. And they experienced forgiveness. We see God answered that prayer in a beautiful way. God intervened and he brought, he provided for Jacob. He relieved him of the fear that he was experiencing. Esau came and fell on him and kissed his neck. And that's the love of brothers that should have. And we see the example of prayer, of how that Esau was agonizing as Jesus was in the garden. He was agonizing. He would not let go. He would not give up until the morning when he received the blessing. This is the kind of agonizing that God wants us to do. That we come to God in sincerity. There needs to be some all-night praying sometimes. There needs to be some crying out to God in agony. That God could take control of our situations and bring it out to His glory. And God wants to do that. He wants to do that. He's waiting to do that. But He's just waiting for us to get to the point where we are desperate. He wants to get us to the point where we see we can't handle our situation. And we see the experience of Daniel. Whenever they set up, Daniel was a praying man. He prayed every day. He was consistent with his prayer. And whenever they made a law that he's not allowed to bow down to any other image but the image of the king, Daniel kept right on praying. He wasn't moved. He kept right on praying. God delivered Daniel from the den of lions. Moses cried out to God for the children of Israel whenever they sinned many times. Especially think of the time there with the golden calf. You know, God was ready to just wipe everybody out. He was done with them. But Moses pled with God and agonized with God for the people. And God changed his mind. We have Hannah praying for a son. She was agonizing in prayer. She wasn't even saying any words at her, but she was crying out to God and she wanted a son, a child. And we see that Samuel saw her praying there, and God looked down and heard her agony and granted her a child. Also, we see Elijah prayed many times. He prayed for the widow's child whenever it would have returned to life. He prayed many times, and God heard his prayers, great prayers, and God answered prayers. And I believe God is still a God that is on the throne, and He's still a prayer-answering God today. And I'm thankful that I have experienced many times that God has answered prayer. I believe many of us have. And I believe God is here and He wants to answer our prayers today. And it's just my encouragement to every one of us that we are diligent in seeking after God, that we are not slothful in our prayer life, that we have a heart that is set on God, that we have a brokenness and a humility before God, that our lives are in His hands, and that we're willing to submit ourselves to His will, that we allow God to have full control of our lives, that He can look down and bless, and He can answer that He can move, that He can bring about revival in our midst. I believe God wants to start a revival in this community. I believe God wants to start a revival in our community. I know that God's been working in the hearts of many of our young people, and I believe He wants to take this further in the church, in the community, that the world would know that there is a God, that men would be saved and be brought to God. I just pray that God would move mightily among us, and that as we humble ourselves and pray as God wants us to pray, I believe that there can be great revival, even in this community, in this very last days, whenever we're seeing so much evil in the land. We need to pray. We must pray. We must pray that we not get taken over by temptation. What is it? He said one place that we should pray. Pray that we are not overcome by temptation, but that we should pray that we have power in our lives to witness and to let the love of God radiate out from our hearts. You know, when God comes down and when He meets with us, when He anoints us with His power and with His grace, that He puts that love in our hearts, and it needs to reach out, it needs to roll out like we heard Wednesday night about rivers of living water coming forth from our life. This is God's plan and design for the church today, that every one of us can experience that our lives are filled and running over, experiencing the joy and the power of God today. And it's only as we come to Him and pray, and as we pray and pray till we have prayed, as we pray till we have experienced the reality of prayer, then God will come. He will experience, He will manifest Himself in our midst, and He will bring revival among us, that God can move in such a way that those around us can experience, that can see that there is a difference, that there might be revival in this community, that God, we know there's many unsaved souls around us, there's many hurting people, many broken homes, many people crying out for help, and we have the answers. We must have, God has the answers, and we are His people. We need to reach out. We need to be a vessel that God can use for His glory. That we might be a church that is radiating a light out to many can be saved and can be drawn into the kingdom. And it's only as we pray and seek God and humble our hearts before Him that we're able to experience that. God wants us to come together and seek Him and pray and let His purposes and His designs come to pass in our midst. Prayer. A power can never be overrated. If a man can pray, he can do anything. He who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. You and I have that reality available to us. Brother Joe, you have much available to help bring down the prison doors. God wants to do it for you. We're going to pray. God wants to. God wants to bring down the hearts of hard men. He wants to bring down the sinner to his knees. God, He's ready. He's ready and waiting and willing to move in this community, in this church, in whatever needs might be among us. So this morning, this is my plea with the church. Let's be praying people. I think at this time, I'm going to just ask all of you who know the power of prayer and you want to be praying people, I'm just going to encourage you to come up front here and let's have a time of seeking after God. Let's have a time of pursuing God and turning our hearts to God and let God work among us. I don't have a whole lot more to say this morning, but I like to spend time in prayer. Let's just come up front here and spend time seeking God this morning, that God would visit us in reality, that His Spirit and His presence would become real in our lives, and that God would manifest Himself among us here in this church and in this community. I'm just going to invite you all to come up here. Whoever can, in the front or in the seat or wherever you are, just everybody crowd to God and let God work in our hearts today. Everybody that knows how to pray, has a desire to pray, just come forward and kneel down and let God work in our midst.